Ballard O'Harris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And we're covering Season 6, Episode 6, Blood of My Blood. What was your overall feelings about this episode, Jesse?
Some interesting turns, lots of information.
Yeah, I felt it's a mediocre episode. Maybe, you know, they dumped a lot of information on us. It wasn't super high action. There's a little bit of action in there that was pretty cool. But I think overall that the Beyond the Wall and probably the Sam and Gilly stuff was probably the best thing going on this episode. There's a point of super disappointment for me. I was super disappointed with King's Landing, but we'll get to that in the discussion. We see on Previously On, there's not really a lot there to comment about, except we do see Walder Frey, so when I saw his face come on, I was like, damn, I hope he dies this episode, but he didn't. And then we go into the episode proper, we start off Beyond the Wall.
Then this episode was pretty much nothing but disappointment for you, wasn't it?
And Beyond the Wall, it seems like data is still downloading, right? It must be like a dial-up modem. I guess they don't get gigabyte Ethernet connection out there beyond the wall. That is still downloading. Mira's trying to get Bran away from the Whites. She just can't. She's just not strong enough. It's not happening. The Whites catch up. Finally, Bran comes to. Comes to is kind of a subjective maybe there because he wasn't complete. He was kind of in a daze. And then we see Benjen, who we learn is Benjen later. Come in, some guy all wrapped up, come in and, like, lay waste to all these Whites. He was pretty hardcore. He had, like, some, I forget the name of it. It's like an oriental weapon, but it's like the sickle on a chain. And he was just lighting, you know, setting these guys on fire, pulled everybody up on his horse and took the fuck off. He said, you know, the dead do not rest. So that means you can't either. So when I saw the guy, the mysterious man, save his life, the first thing that popped in my head was Benjen. It was no surprise when we get later in the episode that was actually Benjen. Though what's transpired, what's happened to him, is kind of an interesting information. However, we don't get to that yet. We transition to Hornhill, which is Sam's family's seat of power, right?
Yep.
And on the way in the carriage, Gilly learns that, hey, it's not snow and ice fucking everywhere yet. She also discovers that Sam's father hates wildlings, and no one knows anything that she's a wildling yet. They arrive, and he's not there. You know, his father's not there yet. He's out on a hunt, right? So it's totally delaying this, you know, playing up the suspense, delaying the inevitable encounter between Sam and his father, which we know is going to suck. We leave Sam and Gilly and go to King's Landing, and we see Tommen and the High Sparrows speaking about Marge's Walk of Atonement. They're pretty chummy.
Very chummy.
I know. And she seems to be treated well. They allow Tommen in there to talk to Marge.
And she looks like she's, you know, been bathed and all that junk, too.
Yeah. You know, she's wearing clean clothes. She doesn't stink. She's not being beat with a fucking book. She's not in a dungeon.
Repent.
So Marge is kind of turned. Like, her whole perspective, you know, there's some question here. Is Marge playing a role? Does she really, you know, does she believe what she's saying, what she's telling Tommen? Because she's talking about how things will be better. Once she does her atonement and makes things up to the gods, everything will be better. She realizes now that everything that she's done to help the poor and the downtrodden is really, you know, she hasn't done much. And it's all been lies just to make herself feel better or make herself look better or whatever. And Tommen's even confused. He's like, well, what are you saying? He's like, you know, you're all right with all this shit? And Marge is totally, seems like she's totally on board with what the Sparrow's doing. Now here's
we'll definitely be coming back to this in the
So we definitely have some points of discussion in the deep dive. So we leave a confused Tommen and a Marge of unknown status at King's Landing. We go back to Hornhill and we see, man, Gilly cleans up really nice. She's sporting Sam's sister's dress, like a formal gown, and she's got her hair done and she's all clean, and it's like, wow, you know. And of course Sam's chin drops to the floor, and it's a really uncomfortable dinner. So his dad's there, he's an asshole. His brother's all right though, and everybody else seems to be pretty cool. And then, you know, they're doing like small talk. You know, they went hunting. Is this a venison from today? No, we haven't had a chance to cure that. Of course, if Sam knew anything about hunting, he'd know that there hasn't been time to cure the meat yet. So, you know, and they're like, well, do you do hunting? Well, yeah, we do all sorts of hunting. You know, rabbits. If they're all like elk and deer, like, no, like rabbits and squirrels. It's pretty harsh up there in the north. And really, I don't do a lot of hunting. It's mostly my friend John. So he's not. And then he lets loose the information. Hey, you know, I'm going to the Citadel to become a maester. And of course, his dad is super upset about that shit, even though it's like a position of respect, especially for the Night's Watch. Oh, hell no. I was expecting the Night's Watch to turn you into man, or at least kill you, right?
Yep.
But none of that's happened. You want to go be weak and soft and fat. Hey, have another fucking roll. And then he goes on to talk about the Valyrian steel sword, right?
Yep. Nice it's, way to point that out.
It's Heartsbane. And as soon as he said Heartsbane, it's Valyrian steel. I'm like, and Sam will never wield it. I'm like, oh, shit, no. Sam is totally going to wield that motherfucker. You're totally not going to really have Heartsbane anymore.
He'd just go take it down off the mantle and kill him right there.
I thought that maybe Heartsbane might feed on Randall's poor little heart's blood a little bit. But no, that as we see later, that's not really what happens. But, you know, the whole time, I hated this. I hated this because I know Sam has some courage, but he hasn't confronted his father since he became a member of the Night's Watch. And so it's almost like he's reverted back to that old coward Sam.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't stick up for himself, but Gilly does, and he starts, you know, he killed a White Walker. And, of course, man, no one believes that White Walkers exist yet, still, south of the wall. You think that information would be spread, but I guess no one gives a shit.
Nope.
Those things don't exist. And then Gilly's like, no, I saw him do it. You know, we were making our way down to Castle Black, which Randall picked up on immediately. And he shoved Dragonglass right through the fucker's heart. And saved me multiple times. And then, of course, Randall finds out she's a wildling. And that brings up the whole Valyrian steel sword, right? And the whole thing turns to shit as he dismantles Sam in front of Gilly and basically calls Gilly a fucking whore in front of everybody. But his mom is like, what the fuck, man? We're out of here. Sam's sister, we're out of here. Sam's sister and Gilly, we're out of here. We're done with this shit. You disgust me. And then right after that, Randall lays down the law, right? Like, hey, I'm going to take your bastard. Of course, he doesn't understand that it's not really his son. Your bastard son, and raise him here. And Gilly can, I guess, work as a servant. And you'll not spend another night here ever again. You'll never come back again. And then so they go back to the bedchambers, and surprisingly, Gilly's not even upset with Sam. It's like, I'm not upset with you. I'm not angry with you. I'm not angry. I'm angry that horrible people can treat good people that way and get away with it. That is like the theme of the entire A Song of Ice and Fire series or A Game of Thrones. That is the whole theme. Horrible people treating good people like shit and getting away with it. Almost, yep. Until they die. But she hit the nail on the head. It's like it's almost breaking the fourth wall there, how savvy she is about how things work here. And then he's, you know, giving her the 411 about how he's out of here in the morning because he has to be. And I'm like, man, I had a sick feeling in my gut. Like, I don't think leaving the boy and Gilly there is a good idea, because the whole thing I'm thinking is like, Randall's an asshole, and I can totally see murderous shit playing out. Either Randall tries something and fails, and Gilly stabs the shit out of him, or he succeeds, and Gilly and little Sam end up dead. The whole thing, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I was thinking, too. That or, you know, because at the very least, he was going to make their lives hell. It was not going to be an easy right. time for them.
But Sam totally turns this whole thing around. I'm like, yeah, I started cheering him on because he goes out there and he's like, come on, we're going. We belong together. You're not staying here. And she's like, he's like, gather your things. She's like, I don't have anything. It's like, well, let's go. And she's like, but I'm wearing your sister's dress. She won't care, and you look better in it than she does. And then he goes and immediately takes Heartsbane off the mantle.
That's just an extra twist. That's just a challenge to his father.
I know, it's just like, fuck this shit. I'm fuck you, I like you, and I'm out of here. You know what I mean? It was great. What we didn't see is him actually make the escape, so that's kind of That's still up in the air. Does he actually make the escape? Does he actually get away with this? But he made a good point. Heartsbane is not his dad's; it's his family's.
Yep.
You know, it didn't belong. You know, his dad didn't make it. It's been passed down through generations.
And he's still the elder surviving son, and out of everyone, he's probably got the most use of it because we know Valyrian steel is at least useful.
That's right. He's not a stupid git like his brother. Oh, those don't exist. You just wait until winter comes, asshole. So we leave.
You have a Valyrian steel swords. Let's see what you do now.
We leave an emboldened Sam and head to Braavos. I love this scene because R is the only one laughing. And when she starts laughing, like, the people in the crowd are like, that's not funny. You shouldn't be laughing. The whole time I'm thinking at this play, I was like, God damn, the Lannisters have a great PR machine.
Yep.
Because none of that shit looked bad for, you know, like Cersei or Joffrey. I mean, it looked bad for Tyrion, but he's not really a Lannister anymore. They kind of disown him. So
they made him the villain of the play, it looked like.
It's fabulous, the PR machine. It even reaches all the way across the Narrow Sea to Braavos. And then, of course, Arya makes her move, right? She goes back there to empty the poison into Lady Crane's drink. And then, of course, she's discovered, right? Right before she leaves. Lady Crane's like, hey, you, what are you doing back here? And Arya's like, nothing. I was like the 9-year-old with the cookie in the jar, you know, her hand in the cookie jar kind of reaction. I'm not doing anything, I promise. And then she kind of takes her in. You know, it's almost like she almost reads her correctly. She's like, well, I remember when I was a kid and the theater came to my town. I snuck in every day and I didn't pay because I didn't have any money. Of course, Arya said she didn't pay. She kind of makes a connection with Arya, right? So she's like, you know, I think Arya sees it. It's very faceless men. The theater, right? There's a...
That last question.
There's like a connection there, right?
Question. Yeah.
Because these people... yeah. These people take on the roles, the faces of the characters they're portraying, right? And that's kind of what the faceless men do. And I think, you know, Arya or Lady Crane made a connection, you know, with Arya in those moments where she's kind of, hey, you know, what's your name? Mercy. Well, you have very, what'd she say? Something about her eyes being like responsive or telling or, you know, communicative or whatever, and great eyebrows. And she had told that story about, you know, running away with the troop. And it was almost like she was offering Arya the opportunity to run away with the troop. And of course, the waif was hiding there when the thing that we thought was going to happen happens. And that's, they kind of teased us, right? As everybody was talking, she lifted the glass up to her mouth, but she didn't drink. When the guy was berating her about having ideas, because Arya had kind of impressed upon her, well, you know, when she asked, how would you write it? Well, she wouldn't be sad. She'd be fucking angry, right? Yep. She'd be angry that this has happened. And Lady Crane's kind of taken back, like, wow, you're right, you know? How would you like to play a part in something here that we create? But, you know, Arya must have been standing in the shadows, and she couldn't stand it, because as soon as she really tried to take a drink, she slapped it out of her hand, and it busted her on the ground. And she points to the understudy as, you know, like, it's obvious, right, why she... Because, first of all, it's obvious why she knocked it out of her hand. Beware that one, right?
Yep.
So that's poison. She was trying to kill you. And, of course, the waif finds out and reports to Jaqen what's happened. And I guess she's been foaming at the mouth to fucking kill Arya. And he's like, okay, you get to kill her, but don't make her suffer. Like, right. That's totally in the game plan, Jaqen. And then we see Arya, remember way back when she first arrived in Braavos, she hid Needle, and she is now recovering Needle.
So what you think? Who's on your betting list? I'm betting Arya surprises the waif, like, pretty quickly.
Well, so now she's got the sword, right? And she's been trained to use that. It's not some fucking stick.
Not only that, I think she's holding back on the stick.
She's prepared. Because, you know, did you see her when she, like, she sat in the corner, right, up against the wall with Needle and then blew out the candle? Like, she's waiting because she knows it's going to happen. It's coming. Yep. She knows it. She's not underneath any. She knew as soon as she failed in that task that this is it. The faceless men are now going to hunt me. They warned her, and we called it. It's like either, you know, because I was like, I didn't sit well with me that she become this emotionless assassin. It's not Arya. She cannot do that. So, but
just
now
like
she's
you can't
have...
really see John Like, we called the thing about Jon Snow, like, dying and coming back, because you can't really see him just leaving the Night's Watch without some...
That's right.
You know, something to break that.
So like, it'll be interesting... Yeah, I think it'll definitely be interesting to see how she flees. Then we leave Braavos and go to King's Landing, and I'm like, the first thing I notice is, God damn, Mace is incompetent in every fashion. He can't even ride a fucking horse down the street, a smooth street, without being led. Like,
no, he just looks like a pompous asshole.
Yeah, he's a... What the hell? And then we see this High Sparrow and Queen Marjorie, and that bitch nun standing next to her with the fucking bell, getting ready to prepare for the Walk of Atonement, right? He gives a big-ass speech, you know, about, you know, no one is above the gods' authority, whatever. And that's right when Jaime, Mace, and the Tyrells army shows up, right? And it's like, hey, this is not going to happen. The High Sparrow's like, look, everybody here is willing to give their life. I don't have the authority to give her up, and you don't have the authority to take her, which is a bunch of bullshit. But then he deflects the whole fucking thing. Like, he has them all pull up and look like assholes. And he's like, but you know what? No blood needs to be shed today, because there will not be a Walk of Atonement. She's already atoned by bringing somebody else into the fold. And everybody's like, who's the someone else? And I had thoughts of Loras, but no, it's Tommen. Tommen comes walking out with the Kingsguard. This, we called it. That motherfucker knew exactly what he was doing. The High Sparrow knew exactly what he was doing. He played them like a bunch of fucking idiots. And the Queen of Thorn knows it. Mace didn't know it, but the Queen of Thorn tells him. Jaime knows it. Cersei knows it. They all fucking know it. They look like a bunch of dicks out there, strong-arming people when they didn't need to. It undermines their authority. Discussion.
Yeah.
But, it's a good, so I was wrong.
It's kind of a good thing for Tommen, though, right? Because it kind of breaks him away from
family. It's a good thing for Tommen. I mean, the High Sparrow, I wouldn't call the High Sparrow a great alternative.
No.
This scene fucking disappointed me. I was all ready for the bloodshed, but then the High Sparrow got me, too. He knew everything was coming on, and he got out of it without bloodshed, and it pisses me off. But I did call one thing. It looks like Jaime's leaving. He's leaving King's Landing. Oh, man. So, we see at the end, Tommen's like, hey, what you did, you can't do. You defied the gods, and so you're not worthy of being captain of the King's Guard anymore. And they send him off. They basically send him, well, we find out later. And we go to the twins, and holy shit, Walder Frey. The guy, guess he's all pissed off that they lost River Run to the Blackfish. All these Bannermen are kind of rebelling against him too, right? They list off a bunch of house names, and then they name drop the Brotherhood without banners or giving them fucking grief.
Finally, so, more mention of them.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to see them in action, I guess. Walder Frey is losing his support base. But I guess he's got a trick up his sleeve, because they bring out Edmure, the one... The
Blackfish's son?
Yeah.
The one who got married on the right, Red Wedding. So,
I'm guessing that's his Trojan horse, right? So they're going to use him somehow to get to the Blackfish? I don't think this play is going to work.
Nope.
But we'll see. And so we go back to King's Landing. And hey, it looks like Jaime's going to River Run, because the Freys can't handle it. So he's going to take the Lannister army to River Run to regain the castle. And then we have some delicious incest. And then we go to Beyond the Wall. And I told you it was dragonglass.
That's right.
What they used to create. Yeah, they used dragonglass to create the Night King and the White Walkers. Because we find out something about Benjen, right? After he reveals himself to be Bran's uncle, he mentions that White Walker had killed him, or at least stabbed him in the gut with an ice sword. But he didn't die, because someone came and put a dragonglass shard in his heart.
You know, so that means they retain their identities when that dragonglass goes in, right? How is that ever a good idea to make somebody one of those?
I don't know.
Especially someone who's probably not going to be happy about it.
So I'm guessing that Benjen was going to die. He was going to die and become a white. And then the dragonglass somehow prevents that. But the question is, does that give him superpowers? Because he was pretty badass against those whites. Is he another resurrected hero?
How many does that make now? Three that we know of, right?
Yeah, so we'll come back to that.
Because
we leave the cold, the damp cold, and we go to the dry hot across the narrow sea. And we see Daenerys is talking with Dario, discussing how many ships you think it'd take to get this fucking horde across. He's like, well, you know, the Dothraki plus the Second Sons plus the Unsullied. We're talking 1,000 ships or more, right? And she's like, well, who has that many ships? No one. And she's like, yet. So the plan is to go back to Meereen, gather everybody up, find 1,000 ships, and sail across to Westeros.
Does she know Yun Kai and the other place had basically rebelled?
What's her plan? She has that information yet. So it's going to be a week before she gets back to Meereen. She hasn't had none of them had communication, right, to Meereen. So yeah. It's not like crows are going to fly to Dothraki horde.
No.
So it's another week, and then on the way after that short discussion, she finds her big dragon, right? What's his name? Is it? I don't know. Drogon. I think it's Drogon.
Yeah, that sounds
right. And I think he's gotten even bigger than the last time we saw him. And he comes in there. She comes in on his back. And she makes some big speech and gets all these fuckers riled up. She's not just going to choose 3 Blood Riders. Everyone in the motherfucking horde is a Blood Rider. And everybody loses their shit over that. You lose their shit about going on the wooden horses across the Black Salt Sea, killing people in their, you know, their shells, their metal shells. And tearing down their stone houses. You know, they just lose their shit. But I'm thinking, isn't it too early to get them fucking riled up like that?
It's going to take a blood week. Frenzy right there.
It's going to take you a week to get to Meereen. Don't fucking rile them up yet. It's too early to be doing that shit. And then we end on Drogon's fearsome roar, right? And then you can see, like, the two areas in his mouth that shoots the liquid that becomes the flame. It's pretty cool.
Lots of CG.
They spared no expense on that roar. And that's how we close the episode. And then we get to the next time. Next time it looks like, hey, there's war in Riverrun. Jaime faces off against the Blackfish. It looks like Sansa maybe is going to former bannermen of Stark to gain their support. It doesn't look like she's doing very hot. A very good job of it. And we see maybe some Cersei and Queen of Thorns plotting. Lady Tyrell and Cersei Lannister plotting together. That can't be good.
Nope.
And so some discussion points. I think the thing on the top of my head is Benjen. Benjen, and is he alive or dead? Does he have superpowers? Because it's not normal. It's not... Well, his face is kind of a little fucked up, right? Like, maybe it's going through a slow rotting stage. I don't know. But it's not normal to have dragon glass pushed into your heart, because he said the same thing that saved him is actually how they created the White Walkers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but the first White Walkers were unwilling, weren't they?
So, well, the first one was tied up to the fucking Godswood, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. So if he retained everything that was him to begin with, I don't know about you, but if someone... tied me to a tree and basically made me some kind of undead monster.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the willingness of the victim. I think it has to do with the circumstances of his death. So it was a White Walker power that killed him, you know, the ice sword, and it took the dragon glass to counteract it.
You're right, but I'm talking about, like, his use purely as a weapon, right? Their goal was to use them against the humans, but... looks like their own weapon. You create something with a mind, and then it's not very happy with you.
Right. Yeah.
Especially and I guess something made out of your enemies.
Also, Bran called him, is what he said. The Three-Eyed Crow called me, and then Mira's like, the Three-Eyed Crow's dead. He's like, well, now he's alive again with Bran. So Bran actually kind of, I guess, sent out a distress signal? Come help me. I almost thought for a second, before Benjen showed up all wrapped up, in black, that maybe we'd see some more dire wolves, like, you know, harness a bunch of wolves to that sled, like a sled team, to get them the fuck awesome. Out of there. That would have been cool, wouldn't it? They totally missed
an opportunity. There's got to be more dire wolves. It can't all be gone.
I know, they're definitely, we haven't seen enough of them. They were introduced way back in season 1, and we thought, wow, dire wolves. Well, the only thing we've seen is them get dead, except for Ghost.
Still waiting for that dragon warging.
And there's dragon warging. Maybe Drogon should have ignored Dany and went beyond the wall. Also, I don't know. It's just, I want to know what kind of, is Benjen mortal? So do they like the dragon glass dissolve and he's all right now? Is he superhuman, more than human, almost dead? What? That's a big question for me.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's kind of an interesting note, though. It looks like Bran may not be tied to that tree for whatever kind of spell or learning he was doing.
Yeah, so, and Benjen knows all about this, right? So I guess he spent time with the previous Three-Eyed Crow and knows what, you know, Bran's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to, you know, he's like, well, you got to learn how to use it, and then you'll be ready to take on the Night King when the time comes, right? A little bit of foreshadowing there.
So does that mean it kind of seemed like Bran was getting the one set up that has to fight that battle? So is he the, what, like third or fourth prophesized chosen one or whatever we've got now?
Yeah. So which Bran is which the
Lord,
anti-
Lord of White? Which do we get with him?
Yeah. Well, I think Bran is the anti Night Lord, right? But he's going to be the. I can't see, you know, Jon and Daenerys are obviously going to face off against these White Walkers at some point. And then Bran's going to basically, it's going to be a big, when will Bran learn to use his powers? And not to the last second. You know what I mean? That's probably the way it's going to play out.
He's been under some severe stress so far, so.
Right, well, he basically had the entire history of the world downloaded into his noggin. Do you know what thing they started, you know, what thing I noticed in the big brief flashback scenes of him learning stuff, the wildfire that Tyrion used during that battle. Yeah.
They did stress that, didn't they?
Yeah. They kind of played on that a couple times. So that'll be key. Wildfire against the White Walkers, which if you listen to me on the Night's Watch before this, it's something that obviously there's a weapon against Whites and Night Walkers, wildfire.
That's similar to what the children were throwing.
Yeah, except it's green. Was the stuff that they threw blow up green?
No, but it was still fire bombs. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's what we know as alchemist fire, right? So, or Greek fire. It's like an oil-based thing that sticks to you and you can't get off. So
great for killing undead.
So, Sam and Gilly, do you think they're getting out of Horn Hill with the sword unscathed?
Yeah. Out of Horn Hill, yes.
Out of Horn Hill, yes. But he's going to be pursued, you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty
what
sure.
What is he going to do with them when they get to the Citadel? Because no women are allowed there.
I don't know. He may not make it to the Citadel.
You don't? He makes it to the Citadel. He's got to uncover secret knowledge for Jon. So they have a MacGuffin to fight the White Walkers with.
Maybe he's the one who brings them wildfire.
Other than Dragonglass. Yeah, I don't know. You got Dragonglass, you got wildfire, you got Valyrian steel. Those are the big three right now.
And dragons. I'm pretty sure that's a weapon against them.
Well, so fire, yeah. Fire of any sort. Dragon fire probably at the top of the heap. What else do you want? Oh, Arya. How do you think that's going to play out?
I see her killing the Waif.
I do too. She's definitely going to get away from the Waif.
In a very surprising manner. Yeah.
And then I don't know what the Faceless Men are going to do. Is Jochen going to come after her himself?
I don't know. That's a really strong question. Like, if he does, I don't think Arya has much chance against him.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out and how she gets back into, like, the main plot. How does she get back into the main plot? That's what I want to know. You know,
makes for home.
Like, in Westeros.
Maybe she runs into Cereo Pharrell. Maybe he's not dead.
I would love it if Cereo was not dead. Of course, you know, there's a bunch of questions. Is Cereo also Jaqen H'ghar? Who knows? I don't know. Because they kind of have the same tiff about there's only one god. And what do we tell him? Not today. So, god of death. It's kind of like, it's almost like two faces of the same coin. Cereo doesn't necessarily serve death. Jaqen H'ghar does. Cereo's more about, like, not letting death get a hold of himself, you know what I mean? Yeah, you don't get me today, sorry. Oh, I think we also saw a bit on Yara on the next time, right? So she's not sailing across the sea to Dany. She's going to try to retake the Iron Islands. How do you think that's going to play out for the Greyjoys?
Badly.
I do too. I think it's not going to end well. And then she'll probably go across the Narrow Sea to escape Euron.
Maybe she'll wait till Euron leaves and then take it back.
No, Euron is going to be gunning for them. He's not doing anything else until he dispatches the other Greyjoys.
First rebellion to be put down.
How do you think the war in Riverrun is going to go?
I think that is going to be like one of the main turning points for.
Yeah, I'm hoping that either the Knights of the Vale come to back Riverrun, or Jon and the Wildlings come to back Riverrun, or Sansa and some of her supports come to back Riverrun. I don't know. I hope something happens there.
I'd love to see them to storm. I'd love to see them take the towers or whatever that wherever the Red Wedding happens, just like murder everyone in there.
Oh, the twins? Yeah. I think Walder Frey's days are definitely numbered. He's going to die.
Yeah, he's shown up just to die again.
Yeah, I agree. He was the betrayer, right? The one that the linchpin in the betrayal of John. You know, when they started bringing out the guy in chains, I almost thought, "Holy shit, is Rob not dead?" But then they had Edmure. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. I remember that dunce.
Rob with his direwolf head sewed on.
Well, you know, who knows? Yeah, so it's a direwolf head on somebody's body. Could have been somebody other than Rob's. It was just too much of a dramatic reveal, right? I think they were actually playing with all the viewers with that dramatic reveal. Like, oh, the other Stark might be alive too. Nope, he's dead still. So, is there anything else you want to discuss? This episode is kind of like a filler. Okay, King's Landing. King's Landing. Such a disappointing appointment. I almost don't want to talk about it.
I don't think Tommen's acting of his own accord. Somebody's got their hand on the steering or the reins of that horse or whatever.
Yeah, the High Sparrow does. But it's not
I don't necessarily think it's the High Sparrow.
No.
I think it's either Margaery or Cersei. Somebody, one of those two has a plan. Because Margaery's not the kind that will just let that happen. She had a reversal of faith kind of quickly, and they didn't surely show any kind of actual repentance.
Yeah, so is Margaery playing a role? Or did Loras's plea to end things actually change her mind?
Yeah, and if it's a role, she's the one guiding Tommen into some kind of plot.
Right. But I don't think she's the one that had Tommen come over. He was already in talks with the High Sparrow. He was already being manipulated by the High Sparrow before he saw Margaery. That's all part of the High Sparrow's manipulation. And I have to wonder...
I just don't feel it's that way, because you had like him basically kind of putting himself in Cersei's hands, and then you immediately show him getting chummy with everybody else. Because you had the Maester Pycelle in there talking to him. You had him starting to meet with the Sparrow. Like, right after he pretty much just freaking apologizes and throws himself at Cersei's feet. So I feel like...
All part of the High Sparrow's plan. The information that Tommen gave Cersei at that point was part... He wanted Tommen to do that.
I wasn't talking about just that. I was, you know...
I don't think it's Margaery. This is the Sparrow. Either through Margaery or what. Yeah. But the big question is Margaery acting along or is she not acting... You know, does she believe what she's saying or is she acting... Has she been brainwashed or is she... playing double agent here? Because did you see her reaction when her family came in there with all the knights and they announced that, hey, we're going to take Margaery and Loras back?
Yeah.
She looked hopeful, right? So I think that this is all a ruse, I think. But
who's,
I just...
my question is, whose ruse? Either Tom is just like the biggest fucking tool.
So the question is, if Margaery isn't brainwashed and she's just playing along, then she's playing along to save her brother. Any more torment. That's what she's doing. That's all that she cares. If that's what she's doing, then that's why. Otherwise, she's brainwashed and actually believes everything. Because they've given no hints that she's had any sort of communication outside of that wall.
Other than like talk with Tommen and the change of heart there.
Other than that...
But
again, yeah. Tommen's being manipulated by... that would be a hard game to pull off as Margaery to manipulate Tommen against the High Sparrow by giving the High Sparrow what he wants. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless it just gives you an opportunity, an opportunity to play something. I don't know. I think this is all the High Sparrow's game. I want
to believe there's a deeper game there, because otherwise Tommen's just the biggest fucking tool. Otherwise,
he is
just
a big tool. He's already been proven to be a big tool.
Yeah, but you just watched him like switch allegiance in every episode.
I honestly don't think there's anything deeper there. If it's deeper, it's all on the High Sparrow's part.
I really think it'll blow up in his face, though.
Well, I think there's going to be bloodshed. We're just delaying the inevitable, which why I'm super disappointed with the scene. I wish that they would have fought each other and people would have died. Lots of them.
It really seemed kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was very anticlimactic. It pissed me off.
Even for them being made a fool of. Like.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I mean, even Lady Tyrell even said, well, yeah. Lady Tyrell said, he's beaten us, that's what's happening.
She seemed a bit miffed, but I feel like Cersei would have been angrier if that was the case.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's anything deeper going on. I could be surprised, you could be right, but...
Well, only time will tell. Time will tell.
Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
I think that's the majority. What do you think about Hornhill and the whole... Do you think Sam's going to make it out of Hornhill without being spotted? Although I kept waiting for him to be confronted right there when he was taking the sword, because
I think something is going to happen on his way out. And if it doesn't happen on his way out, then it'll happen. He's not going to leave all this behind him that easily. No. So something's going to happen. And I think he will probably end up putting a sword through whoever it is that confronts him, be it his brother or his father.
Agreed.
I think the reckoning of Sam will happen, and Randall is going to feel it. So.
Now the question, do you think it's going to actually be Sam, or do you think it's going to be Gilly saving Sam?
Say again?
Do you think it's going to be Sam, or do you think it's going to be Gilly saving Sam?
No, I think it'll be Sam. I think it's important, as a character development, I think it'll be important for him to do that. Even though it'll probably wreak him, you know, he'll be torn with grief forever at having to kill his own father. But I think it has to happen. And Sam has to do it.
It'd be kind of interesting to see him and find out where John's at and basically take Hornhill's forces north.
There won't be any taking of Hornhill. I think these guys are like a... Even though the damn place looked fairly big, didn't it?
It looked pretty palatial.
Huge. But we haven't heard them as resources. We haven't heard of them as like a big player in anything, though.
I mean, they're obviously somebody's armistmen or something. They belong
to he's somebody's bannerman, but I think he's ultimately insignificant. Is that all you got?
Yep.
All right. Well, then I want to thank everybody for listening to us on another episode of the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse. Valar Morghulis.